Sister Phil, I think the sermon has been rendered, you know. I really feel like singing right now. Draw me nearer, precious Lord. Amen. It's a beautiful song. Shall we pray? Our God, only Father, in the worthy and precious name of Jesus, we humbly and reverently approach that throne of grace. So, Father, we just ask that you would just hide me behind the cross and let that which I have prepared that you have laid on my heart go forth and touch the hearts and minds of those that are present. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I've been doing a lot of reflecting lately. You know, last week, a couple of weeks ago, there was a man by the name of Tyree Nichols, a 30-year-old man that was unlawfully stopped and dragged out of his vehicle by the police, beaten like an animal, and killed. Even though he died a few days later in the hospital, he effectively was dead, in my opinion, when they got him there. About a year ago, a man by the name of George Floyd was suffocated to death by four white police officers in broad daylight. This past week, someone opened fire in an apartment building, killing a 12-year-old boy. A young 4-year-old child last week was hit and killed by a hit-and-run driver. A teenager was stabbed near his high school in the Bronx. Wednesday, one of the most famous quarterbacks of all time, Tom Brady, had expressed his views in an interview with the New York Times, and he stated, "I don't know what I believe. I think there's a belief system. I'm just not sure what it is." In the present day that we are living, there are never-ending viruses. Many are resistant to vaccines and therapeutics. We live in a world where at any given moment, the pandemic, a variation thereof, could return throughout the world and once again killing millions of people. The world is in a state of confusion. Homosexuality is rampant. The LGBTQ community, the lesbian, the gay, the bisexual, the transgender, the binary, they're now in the forefront all over social media. Most forms of modern communication, television, etc. The laws are being changed to make it illegal to speak out against these groups on the basis that it'll be violating their civil rights. The people in the world are more and more in rebellion against God. People in the world don't realize they make bad choices. And because of those bad choices, we see the evil that we see in the world. What's interesting is that God allows disruption in the normal order of things to get our attention. God was not the cause of the pandemic, but allowed it. God is not the cause of crime in the world, but is at the current time allowing it. God allows the evil we see because we are living in the day of man. God is present though, because the evil that we see in the world by the demonic forces in the world is currently on a leash. But at some point, in a period known as the tribulation, God's going to let that leash go. People in this world have a choice to choose God or reject him. And the vast majority of people in this world have said no to God. But one day God is going to say, I've had enough. I've had enough. And people will see the wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1 and verse 10 says, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivers us from the wrath to come. So we're not going to experience the wrath because Jesus endured the wrath on the cross for us as believers. So the good news is that those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior will not experience the wrath of God. And the reason is that not only did he endure on the cross, but he's returning in the air. He's going to return on earth a little later on after that, but he's returning first in the air. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with him. So we have a lot to give God thanks for. You know, we have a lot to be happy this morning about. No matter how much money you have or don't have in the bank, no matter what your health issue is, no matter what any personal problems are, we have a lot to give God thanks for this morning. Because despite the state of the world, despite how bad the world becomes, at some future date, Scripture tells us that God is going to remove us from the wrath that is about to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 reassures us that our Lord is coming for the church, and the church will be raptured. Verse 16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we're not going to experience the wrath that's about to come. But if you don't know Jesus this morning, one of the things you need to think about is that you don't want to be left behind. For those who are left behind, for those who choose not to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, judgments will come to you and to the rest of the unbelieving world. Because the day of the Lord is coming. Right now, we're in the day of man, but the day of the Lord is coming. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye not be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. What's interesting is that if you really think about it, the day of the Lord is a tribulation. The good news that we won't be here. Christ will come for the church before wrath comes to the earth. But how's that going to happen? We know we're going to be caught up, but There's a few reasons why he's coming back. One is because it's going to be the day of the Lord. But the other reason is that is discussed in Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 through 7, where it says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." The book is a title deed of sorts. It's a deed of ownership. And what's interesting is that the only person qualified is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus the Lamb. Jesus the Lion. He is Savior and King. And there will be a reclaiming of the earth through a series of judgments by the one who is worthy. And so, simultaneously as God takes action against those who have rejected him, he's coming to reclaim that which was lost by Adam. God is going to return, and he's going to deal with that part of his creation that has ignored him. He's going to deal with that part of his creation that has abandoned him. So the seals are now about to be opened. And as they are about to be opened, they represent the first series of judgments. And this is the beginning of the tribulation. Then the tribulation is a 7-year period of God's wrath on earth. So the rapture has occurred. We're with the Lord in heaven, worshiping around the throne, and we're about to see a side of God never seen before. In Revelation chapter 6, in verse 1, it says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals." And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." So when the first seal is open, the tribulation begins. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. In the tribulation period, again, is a 7-year period after the rapture, in which God brings judgment to earth as a precursor to reclaim it. Verse 2, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and that he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer." So observe the scene. There's chaos in the world. There's chaos because the world is in a chaotic state. And it's in a chaotic state because there's been a rapture. And God has unleashed the enemy. So what we see today, the evil we see today, is nothing like what's going to come. With the day-to-day insanity of the world today, with the false religions, or no religion at all, and all the things happening in the world, is going to be even more chaotic. So the first horse is the first judgment. And this is where the Antichrist appears to the world on a white horse with a bow and a crown. The white horse symbolizes victory, but the Antichrist gives an illusion that he is a victor, because he comes across as a world leader with a crown, and he will enter the world claiming to be the future world leader. But what's very interesting is that there's a bow, but no arrow. So the bow symbolizes the power of the Antichrist, and the absence of the arrow points out that he will never need to use the bow. This signifies that there will be no bloodshed as the Antichrist takes over the world power. He will come calling peace, peace, when in reality there is no peace. This person will gain political power. This person will become a world leader. This person will have wealth and power and political influence, thus the crown. He will be the last dictator. And again, in the beginning of the tribulation, there is an appearance of peace. However, the state of affairs in the world will disintegrate rapidly. The second seal in verses 3 and 4 says, "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto them a great sword." So the red horse is a horse of violence. Things are still evolving very quickly, very chaotically in the world. People will literally slay one another at will. Slay one another at will. There'll be massive conflict throughout the world. The Antichrist will now have a sword, but no longer pretending to be peaceful, but he will become a killer of men. The Antichrist will come with the promise of peace, but the seed of peace will ripen into a harvest of war. People will kill each other at random. We see some of it today. Homicide, the killing of another person. Fratricide, the killing of brothers and sisters. Parricide, the killing of one's parents. Genocide, the annihilation of entire races. But it will be significantly worse at that time. Then you have the third seal. Verse 5. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." So we have a black horse, and the rider is holding a pair of scales. These are measuring scales used to measure wheat or grain. This is going to be a great time of famine. We know that a denarius was a day's wage in the Roman economy. But when chaos breaks out, there will be economic instability in this world. And that's why the reference to a quart of wheat for a denarius and 3 quarts of barley for denarius. Inflation will be so bad that it would take a day's wage to buy a quart of wheat. It would take a day's wage to buy 3 quarts of barley. Inflation would be totally out of control. The economy would be unstable. Things will cost so much that it doesn't matter how much money you have, it won't mean anything. It would take a day's wage for a man or a woman to feed themselves only, never mind the entire family. It will be a day when prices are soaring and nations are starving. Then you have the fourth seal. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. So we have a pale horse. There will be widespread death on the earth. There will be killing. There will be hunger. There will be pestilence. There will be death by beasts on the earth. There will be social conflict. There'll be famine. The opening of this seal brings death to 1/4 of the earth's population. Think about it. There are about 8 billion people in the world today. So that's 2 billion people that will die. Death is the seal. And we kind of saw how that might come about with pestilence, because the coronavirus brought about 7 million deaths in the world. So at this time, the world will be a very scary place. Then you have the fifth seal, the cry of the martyrs. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. So these are the saints that are saved during the tribulation period. And they're praying to God. And they said, "Lord, we didn't follow the Antichrist. How long before you avenge our deaths? How long before justice and judgment can be brought against the unrighteous who are doing this?" And God tells them to hold on, because he would soon pour out his wrath. Just hold on. Even though you don't see justice now, let me complete what I'm about to do, and there will be complete justice on the earth. And then you have the sixth seal. And verse 12 reads, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us. Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? So this is very interesting, because we now have the opening of the sixth seal. And there will be cosmic disturbances. All of nature will be out of line. The mountains will crash into one another. Volcanoes will flare up randomly. Earthquakes will create ash that blocks out the light of the sun. Hollywood has nothing on this. It's going to be mean. And verse 15 says, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man. So bondman is a slave. There's still slavery in certain parts of the world. You know, you go to countries like Myanmar. There's certain places in Asia. You don't talk about it. But here it is that you have the kings of the earth, the leaders, the presidents, the vice presidents, and those that are kings, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, and every slave and free man. They hid themselves in caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And I find this very interesting. The hearts of man will be so hardened at this point that they won't even call out for salvation. But they would rather commit suicide. Here, as you see people seeing the destruction of the world, you would think that they would say, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins. But their hearts are hardened, and they would rather die. What's interesting about the sixth seal is that this is occurring during the end of the first half of the tribulation. This is the great day. The great day. This is actually the beginning of the great tribulation. So it is the tribulation of 7 years. First 3.5 years is the tribulation. The second 3.5 years is the great tribulation. And people are still being saved, but there's still millions of people rebelling, even though they know they are under judgment. What's interesting is that chapter 7 doesn't deal with the seventh seal. Chapter 8 deals with the seventh seal. Chapter 7 is where God comes in, and he now seals the 144,000 evangelists, Jewish evangelists. But in chapter 8, it says that when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the angel, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. What's very interesting is that before God announces the judgment, or the continued judgment, through the next series of judgments, there's a 30-hour pause. We serve a gracious God. And so before you have the unveiling of an entirely new series of judgments, which is going to be another outpouring of God's anger against the remaining inhabitants on earth who have failed to accept him, there's a pause. In conclusion, I don't want to go beyond my time. The Bible always has good news. The good news is that Jesus is qualified to bring an end to evil on this earth, and he will. The good news is that those of us who are born again will not be here during the tribulation. Amen. The good news is that God has a bright future for us even today, before the rapture. The good news is that God has a bright future for our tomorrow and for our day after tomorrow, until he brings us home to be with him in glory. The good news is that we will have an even brighter future with our Lord in glory. And for those of you who are here today who don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the good news is that if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, it's not too late. You can accept him right now. All you have to do is say a very simple prayer. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I invite you into my life. I invite you into my heart and I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. And if you said that simple prayer, you're born again. Finally, the good news is that we are kings and priests. We shall reign with Jesus forever. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, in the worthy and precious name of Jesus, we humbly and reverently approach your throne of grace. Father, we are ever mindful that this world is not a pleasant place for those who are your own. But we're reminded that these things will pass away. And we are reminded about the great reality of the glory that is about to come. So help us to hold on and to understand that we do not belong to this present age, for our citizenship is in heaven. This world is transient, this world is temporary, but the world to come is real, permanent. And the world to come will endure forever. Amen.